We hope that one day we will be allowed to fly our craft freely in your skies, over your breathtaking seas and across your mighty continents. Then we will be Wilsoft-commed on equal terms as friendly neighbors. But now, my friends, I must end this transmission. This is Kashendo of Melka saying farewell for the present. In the immediate post-war months there were regular radio transmissions to Edwin's Q group, and a variety of subjects were discussed, including religion, Telsoft-pathy and reincarnation. It was Talance who mentioned that they found the existence of the many religions on Earth very surprising, and Kashendo spoke about the Varsoft-is races here. Remember that what is discussed here is only a few hours transcribed from hundreds of hours of direct radio transmissions to the Q group at Bintown. It is Diffie-Soft-Cult to select what may be of the greater interest to the most people. The selection has had to be ours. Talan said, it seems strange ye thought you should have ism any religions. Although they are differently named, they all praise the Almighty One and their main object seems to be the same. So it does not matter which religion you belong to, as long as you believe in and acknowledge the Divine One, you are doing the right thing. In the Confederation we have only one religion. We all believe that there is an Almighty One, although the planets differ in their methods of worship. On my planet Byron, Wesing are praises out loud, yet on Calder's they meditate and worship in silence. Other plans soft-ets vary again in their attitude to prayer. On Grander, they kneel and pray in their worship of the divinity. Although outward forms of worship may differ, we all be soft-leave in the same Divine One. Kashendo spoke about the various races we have on Earth and said, this is an intriguing subject, but some of the mystery is known to the Confederation. We know that long before we first visited your planet, there were other visitors. When our ancient pioneers arrived there, they found evidence that whoever came before them must have come from systems far beyond those known to us. It is possible that they wished to colonize Earth. We do not know for certain whether this explains the many different races, but we do know that the race which you call the Red Indian, had ancestors who came from a faraway planet doomed to destruction. They were highly civilized and had mastered space travel. They left their home planet in a giant craft to search for new planets to colonize and reached Earth, and there they settled. It seems that they were abandoned by their people or were unable to return home, possibly for lack of fuel. Their craft was stranded and so they remained on Earth. They were forced to improvise and learn to live off the land. They made use of what they had and what they could find. They hunted animals and learned to use them for food and sustenance. We know about these people, for they were very intelligent as a race, and one of the early ones to occupy Earth. But what about the many other races you have? We can only assume that they too were space travelers, for we have definitely found the remains of many craft beneath your desert sands. Gigantic craft which are not from the Confederation. Should these remains be discorf-erid, they would cause a sensation on Earth as they are of enormous proportions. They must have carried those soft-sands of people. It is possible, he suggested, that they never intended to return to their homes. Were they banished and perhaps sent away as punishment? We can only guess at the reason for their presence, but the evidence of their arrival from other planets is there, beneath the sands. This may be one reason why there are so many different races on Earth. Some of them are very aggressive soft-ive and very primitive even in this day and age. The Rift were banished from their home planets on account of their aggressive behavior. And is this the cause of the aggression which is still evident today? When the Confederation carried out patrols beneath the surface of your oceans, they discovered many craft buried in the mud of the ocean floors. There is much evidence which will not be found soon, and much that has been lost. In another transmission I must tell you about the abandoned cities which lie beneath your Pacific Ox Ian. Mysterious cities which must have been of great beauty before they disappeared. What catastrophe befell Earth? Who are the builders of these matchless cities? But the next time Kashendo spoke to Q Base, it was on more mundane matters and not on the mysteries of the cities beneath the seas. He said, we returned from our rest period one Earth day ago. Linda, whom you know is my Australian wife, has just returned with the child Soft-Ren from a visit to her parents on Earth. What interest Soft-Ing thinks brought back with them? We all had a wonderful time examining these and listening to the story Soft-Rise of the children and my beloved wife. They brought back photographs of the places they visited in Australia and around her home. They brought back happy memories of the places I visited during my period on Earth. But what I love best is the music. The songs and orchestral items which they brought with them. They had a Strata recorder on which they were able to record many of your popular musical items. Oh my! You do have some strange music. But some are very nice. There is one particular melody I like. It is called Amazing Grace. During this Transsoft-Hyphen mission I shall play it to you, and in the future we may use it as a signature tune to indicate that we are about to transmit to you. All of us like it very much. Yes, I spent many hours listening to the programs they had recorded from the television stations. It was very in Soft-Hyphen interesting, but some we found very strange. But all in all it brought much entertainment and laughter to us. Note we also and other extraterrestrial visitors before these have speculated on the variety of human race here on Earth. The visitors seem to be in general agreement, however, that all human races on Earth came here from elsewhere, and a great variety of elsewheres, and that the evidence of Tyre arrival and the remains of the ships of those stranded for one reason or another, may be found beneath our deserts and under our seas. The variety of races alone, they say, is testimony for the existence of human life elsewhere in the universe. Cashendo also mentioned two pet rabbits which were given to the children by their grandparents while in Australia, and caused quite a stir because the children let them out of the box while still in the astral craft on the way back to Calder's. Their hilarious antics had the crew in stitches, while they hopped all over instrument panels in the control center. On arrival in Calder's, they were carefully screened and isosoft-hyphenated for a time to check for diseases and then returned to the children. Theseus, the first rabbits on this planet, and Cashendo did not mention whether the two were a pair. We have visions of Australian rabbits overrunning Calder's. Now, as I promised, said Cashendo, I shall tell you what we know of your past incarnations in our own confederation. We have noted that in a great many extended UFO contact cases, the contactee is eventually identified as one of the contact group from earlier time, now incarnated in an Earth body, and being awakened to his true identity and the reason for contacting him instead of another. It is a difficult point because the Western mind does not accept reincarnation as a potential reality. It is a vast subject and there is much to tell. Let me begin by saying that the Master Register is stored in a gigantic memory bank on the Mother Planet of Grandeur. Here are the records of all beings who have lived lives in the Confederation. Cashendo explained that the giant computer is housed in 37 buildings which are arranged in a circle around a central building. Most of the staff work in the central building which collects the required data from memory cells, consisting of thousands of transparent tubes with crystals inside them. Each tube is capable of soft-hyphening many thousands of symbols, and a memory bank consists of many thousands of these transparent tubes. The data is stored indefinitely, and when needed the controllers extract it in coded form which is then decoded to pro-soft-vid the required information. All the equipment is very complex and kept in a special atmosphere. Note Heffer, the first time Edwin and other members of the group around him are given some of their own past life history in the Confederation before incarnating in Earth bodies. This is a difficult aspect of this phenom soft-enon to explain because it comes up in groups all over the world that are not in contact with each other and often never heard of the others. In most cases those in soft-volved have not even accepted reincarnation as a theory until this point. But they get answers that then changes their whole belief system, and triggers memory keys that they can identify with, awakening them to a new reality. The memory cells store innumerable personal features and characteristics which reappear in the same individ soft-Ulthrufmaner lives. When a search is made, a special computer transmits the details of the required person to the whole range of memory cells. As soon as the features are recognized by a memory bank, a message is transmitted back to the central control building where it is recorded. The whole process is complicated, and Kashando said that he found it difficult to describe it accurately, but he hoped it explained how the Grandsoft-Durian cerebral torturous people's live true time, at least within the Confederation. "Here I have the details on your wife Elizabeth," continued Kashendo as he addressed himself now to Edwin. "She first appeared in the Confederation over 700 years ago on Calder's as the wife of a Confederation official called Rhino. This officer made journeys into deep space and visited Earth a number of times. On two of these trips to Earth she accompanied him. During those days things were different and there was much to explore. On the last journey, she spent many years with her husband at Ibis in Australia from which the planet was patrolled. She became well known throughout the Confederation for her work on the preservation of food for storage in starships. After that it was possible to carry more and greater variety of fresh food on a long journey. Elizabeth then reappeared on Byron where she was the wife of a communications technician called Byaka. This was an uneventful and happy life. Byaka never traveled in deep space a great deal, although he was responsible for the design of new long-distance communication equipment. Some of his special techniques are still used today. After this life, Elizabeth appeared on Calder's married to an interplanetary officer named Thermata. Thermata was a commander of the 7th starship of the Cyan at the time. Her name in that life was Astra Elder. It was he who designed the first astral craft, which was named after her. They lived happily for many years, and that is all we have at this time. Edwin, you were a Caldasian commander. Your first appearance was on Calder's, as a commander of the 2nd Starship Division. The starships were the forerunners of the astral craft. On your journeys you visited many remote places, but you were based on Calder's. You made journeys to the solar system you are presently living in at this time. These are just a few of the basic facts. Many incidents are recorded in the memory cells of Grandeur on your lives in the Confederation and in officer positions, but it would take too much time to describe them. We shall speak of these matters again. A great deal is missing as we can only give you details on the lives spent in the Confederation. Before closing the radio transmission, Kashendo urged all members of Cubase to practice telepathic communication, which he called thought transmission. He said, "One day, it may be a matter of life and death. Eventually you will reach the stage where you will be able to communicate without the need of radio, and you will be able to hear our voices within yourselves, just as you are hearing my voice today by radio." Chapter 9, The End of an Era. At the end of 1972 there was a special Christmas broadcast to Edwin and the members of his group. A chain of astral craft relayed the message from Weora on Calder's to the craft closest to Earth where Talance was in command. As each craft joined the communication chain the commanders added their share to the Christmas broadcast. Talance began by saying, "Cubase. Greet Soft-Ings Edwin and all your members. This Byraean astral craft is at present about 600 kilometers above your position. We have much pleasure in making this initial contact with you, for this is a special radio transmission. In a few minutes I will connect you to Melka. They will connect you to a Salamian astral craft and then a few other craft with Orgetha links to a Cetonian craft which will be in contact with Calder's. Greater than from there you will hear Weora himself." An extensive relay system was lined up,